Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Like Mother, Like Daughter podcast. I'm Lauren, the daughter.
And I'm Jamie, the mother. And guess what? We're next to each other.
This is so exciting. We are back together for one episode for a little while. And it's so exciting. We have our brand new microphones. I'm not sure if you guys can tell, like, if the quality is even better. I guess we'll find out after we listen to the episode afterwards, but very cool. I think we can say we're like podcasters now. Actually, that sounds exactly like what I said in our ad for Anchor, but like it does feel like a step up as podcasters.
It's so true. And they're professional USB condenser microphones. You'd think there'd be like a product name on it, like the company that creates these, but I don't see it on the box. So shout out to
Amazon
company. Maybe it is the Amazon.
Yeah, that's smiley face.
Microphone company.
That's smiley face in the box. That's Amazon.
Oh, thank you so much, Amazon. You really do everything for us nowadays.
Everything. My entire wardrobe is now yours, which is so weird to say, but like it actually is. Like all my clothes are now from Amazon.
I mean, it's crazy how much we like rely on that company.
I know. It's honestly really bad for small businesses. So I do want to apologize to them, but
yeah.
Amazon, you make my life very easy, so I appreciate you.
Yep, me too. And I'm so happy that we have these awesome microphones. But it does, like, when you're looking on here, look a little like we're not loud enough.
I think when we talk, you can't tell as much. I've noticed that when I've recorded. Like, my audio always looks softer, but you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah, because, you know, guys, I edit the podcast.
You'll see. Huge editor of the podcast.
Totally. Yeah, well, we've had such a good time together, and we're going to talk a little bit about that stuff while you've been home. This is Sunday, so, like, you know, you guys will hear this on Wednesday, and it'll be a week almost since, like, you got here because you got here on Thursday.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Thursday to Monday, it's a nice long weekend at home. Can't really ask for anything better.
It's the best. So, all right, well, let's dive right into our lights of the week where we discuss our best, medium, and the lowest points of the week. Not in that order, of course, because we always start with the low, I know. So should I start with it?
Sure.
Okay. So my low of the week isn't such a low, but it just was a funny story to bring up, kind of like I think you did this like a week ago or something. But I traveled with one of my colleagues. Shout out to you, Beth. We traveled to a day camping conference in New Jersey. We flew into the Philadelphia area, and then our conference was in a camp called Medford JCC Camps. Amazing place. But we stayed at a hotel and a DoubleTree. And it's like when you travel nowadays, or because there are so many people that are not, like, the staffing isn't to the best, the fullest. There's really, we got there and she's like, well, you know, there is no like housekeeping between your visits. So like basically there's no housekeeping. No one's going to come in and clean your room in between days. Not, yes, in between stays, of course, but not like while we were there, where there wasn't going to be.
That, the way you phrased that made me a little nervous.
No, they do clean the rooms, but you know, we got there and the temperature in the room was like 74 degrees. And that's pretty warm for like a space inside. So we turned on the air conditioning and then we called down to the front desk and we're like, you know, we don't think it's working. They're like, well, give it a little bit of time and then we'll send somebody to your room. So anyway, of course, we give it a little bit of time. Now, Beth is somebody who likes to totally unpack the suitcase. Now, usually when I travel, I kind of live in the suitcase, like live out of it. But she likes to put things in the drawers. And so I was like, you know what? I'll put things in the drawers. So I'm unpacking fully, putting stuff in the drawers. And then we go down to the front desk and we're going to go to like dinner. And before that, we say to the guys, like, it's just not working. So this gentleman, Abe Gabriel, went to our rooms and he started like, I don't know, he hooked up to the system and he zapped it or whatever he did. And he said, your air conditioning should be working. I heard it go on, et cetera, et cetera. It should be great. So we're like, okay, we'll give it some time. We'll go to dinner and we crank it down. And then we're like, well, by the time we get back, it'll be fine. Well, go to dinner. Guess what, guys? air conditioning did not work. We got back and I think it even went up a degree. So we were laughing and called down again. We walked down to the front desk. They're like, oh, Gabriel, you know, okay, we'll send Gabriel back up. So they end up switching.
Good old Gabriel.
Yeah, he became our buddy. They end up switching our room. Okay. So now, you know, remember, I unpacked. So now we have to both pack it all back up to take it to the new room. And then we, you know, unpack in the new room. It was warm in there, but we turned it down. And then the next thing we knew, I was like, oh, shoot, I've left my Birkenstocks in the first room. So I had to walk back down to the front desk. And the lady's like, oh, Gabriel, your best friend will be out there in just a moment, Mrs. Smith. So, like, out comes Gabriel again. And, you know, anyway, he did become our best friend because now he's helping me get into the first room and takes me back to the second room and all those things. So there was a couple other funny things, which just was like par for the course. And she and I kept cracking up. And there you go. It's a low light just because, like, I don't know. This has been a great week. So it's hard to find something that was like that low. But that was my low. What about you?
Story. I kind of had a similar like low light where as to yours and like the one I told last week where it's like not that bad. It's just like, okay, like that means, yeah, I guess that means life is pretty good right now. But like, I'll just share because I don't really have anything else to share. And it was like kind of a scary, annoying situation. So basically on Friday, I went downtown by myself, which I'll explain a little more in like a different light of like why I went. But basically, I drove to the train station by myself and I parked and like there wasn't really anyone else in the parking lot. So I was like, that's kind of weird. I mean, I was going to the city at like 5:30. So like, I guess like I wasn't expecting to be like super crowded, but like I was expecting it to be like more than one person. Yeah. So I'm like walking and then like the parking lot that I chose, yeah, like there weren't any cars and like I'm standing like by the tracks. And then, like, I didn't know how to get into, like, the sidewalk, like, where the tracks are on. Like, you couldn't just walk straight up. So I had to, like, walk down these stairs. And then I had to walk back up different stairs to get to the train. And then I'm still standing there. I'm like, where are the people? I was, like, 10 minutes early. And I was like, okay, like, that's fine to be a little early. That's, like, and then I was like, am I just early? Or is no one taking this train, whatever? And then I, like, glanced over like down the street and I see like way more people and there's like the actual train like station, you know, like the inside part, and then I walked farther down and then I realized I was on the wrong side of the tracks and I was like, I hope I can cross over, and there was like a place to cross, so I crossed over and then I like look over and I'm like, there's all these other parking lots like that were fuller and like way closer to where I was. And like, cause the place I parked was like, it said like meters and it said permit. And like, I realized I didn't get a ticket, but I was like freaking out. So I'm like, I get a ticket. I ended up being like free after like 5 p.m. So it's fine. But like, I just was so stressed. I was like, and I wanted to, like, I was getting that, you know, like the anxious, it's like the anxious OCD tendency where it's like, you feel like in your brain, it's like, I need to move this car. I need to like go fix it. But I couldn't because the train was coming in like 3 or 4 minutes. I was gonna definitely not have enough time. But I had to like deal with like the anxiety, like giving it up. And like, it's literally the worst feeling.
So then like as the parents, you know, because that's what we are, we're getting like, and dad's going, Lauren, there's nothing you can do. Just go and relax. Let it go. I'm sure everything's gonna be fine. And then I'm thinking in my back of my head, are we supposed to drive to Highland Park to like
move the car
and like, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah. So
anyways, yeah, it was quite an adventure. Yeah, it's not super crazy, but it was just one of those things, like I'm by myself, so it made it like kind of scary, but fine. Okay. We're 9 minutes in and we've only done one light, so let's speed it up.
Okay. Mediums. All right. So my medium is the conference. It was great to be with other Jewish day camp professionals from everywhere. We have been on Zoom calls with a lot of these people over the last year and a half. So we've like seen their name and their faces in tiny little boxes, but I really didn't know anybody. And just connecting with them in person and, you know, building relationships and making some new friends, that was so fun. We loved the conference, like in terms of some of the speakers, and I could go on and on about that too. And it was a on the dream day camp location. Like that camp, Medford, JCC, has basically everything you would want in a summer camp and more. The grounds are spectacular. They have, I mean, it's an unbelievable operation. 600 staff members each summer. And just to put it into perspective, I think we had like 105. So it's pretty crazy. And they have 1,400 kids there and pretty large, amazing property. So it was great to be inspired by that grounds and everything. It was, if you weren't home, it would have been an awesome highlight, but it was just a medium because it was such a good week with you. All right. So now you got a medium.
So yeah, my medium was coming home overall and getting to see, obviously, you guys and me and Papa, and well, you guys includes Dad, being with family. I know, you know, we, you and I had a lot of fun like this past weekend. I know yesterday we went on this really nice walk, and I'm sure you can talk about that more. And then the other aspect was just being able to see so many friends. I'm really fortunate that like most of my friends from camp are all graduated, so they're all home, and like I've been able to see all of them, which is just great. I got to meet my good friend Jillian's roommate, guinea pigs, that she's been talking on and on about, and it was definitely like out of my comfort zone to play with some guinea pigs,
cause, especially because like, they're hairless too. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. We want to tell everybody.
Yeah, they are hairless guinea pigs, and like while we do have a dog, like I would not consider, especially me, like I'm not really an animal person at all, so like it's definitely like not my thing, but I'm glad I did it. It was a lot of fun memories. Also meeting her roommate's boyfriend, who was a very entertaining man. and I got to see some of my other camp friends. I spent a lot of time with my friend Vicky. Tonight I'm seeing my friend Hannah, one of my close friends. So I'm just like very grateful that I got to do that. And you know, cause going home, it like means I get to see some of my favorite people, and like, my high school friends are obviously at school, so I'm lucky that I have some other people I get to see.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you here. And yeah, that is obviously my highlight, is having you home. I love it. And it's just, you know, completes my family, except we do miss Max. And
of course, that's, you know, for sure.
We've been missing you a lot. But I do think that one of my the best parts was we had such a nice time yesterday. We love to get acai bowls at Lolo's Bowls. What a great place. Lolo's Bowls, if you ever want to sponsor us, we would.
Oh my God.
We'd gladly do. We love it. And so that was really nice.
Honestly, they don't need to pay us. They just give us like free bowls. Wait, I didn't bring my punch card yesterday.
I have my punch card. We could have gotten, I had it with me and I brought it and we forgot.
That's so unfortunate.
Well, because we ordered it.
We ordered online. That was a mistake.
We ordered it online, so it was ready when we got there. And
my
basically,
fault. I went and got them. So okay. Anyway.
We had acai bowls, and then we thought, well, we would go on a really nice walk, and it was just such a pretty day yesterday. Like the weather was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And we went on like a 3-mile walk, and that was so nice. And it's been a great weekend. That's my high.
Yeah. My high. So I was kind of holding off, like I wasn't sure if I was gonna say anything, but I feel like I have, like I don't want to lie to the listeners, and I want to be like truthful about my life, but I'll keep it pretty brief and short, not like say much, because I don't want to, you know, it's not as big of a deal as it needs to be. But I did the other day, the reason why I went downtown, I took the train, was because I went on a first date, which is very exciting for me. It's very much out of my comfort zone for people who know me. And like it really was like my very first date, because people that I've had relationships, like I've been in relationships before, well really only one, but I knew the person much before I dated them, so it wasn't
much since they were like
in preschool
children.
So I like, it wasn't like a first date where it's like starting from scratch and meeting someone completely new. So like that was kind of like the scary part for me, was meeting someone new. But it really was a highlight. Like I had a really great time. Obviously it's a first date, and like I think me saying this now, everyone who I didn't tell whatever like is gonna be like freaking out, but I want you to know that like I wouldn't want to like shout it out on the rooftops, because it really is exactly what it is. And like I don't want to jinx anything. First of all, I'm a pretty like superstitious person, and I'm also like, I don't want to get ahead of myself in any way, because I definitely could have the tendency to do that. So, but I do want to like also be happy for myself, because I had a really, really great time. It was amazing, honestly. And I don't want to like share any more details, because it's not really anyone's business. That sounds mean, but like anyone who like does know me well and like wants to talk about it, I'm happy to share. But like, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I guess I'll keep you guys updated, but I don't really like want to. I don't know. We'll just see. We'll see. I don't know, but it's definitely, definitely exciting.
I agree.
I'm proud of myself, because even the, not just the date part, but the taking the train and the adult, like it was very an adulting trip of mine. And like, I'm proud of myself, because I'm trying to step outside my comfort zone in many ways. So I think that was a good test.
Well said. Well said. It was a great night, I think, for you.
Thank you.
Okay. So before we, you know, go any further, I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming next on the episode. We had a really great conversation with a longtime, kind of like, I wouldn't call her a family member because she's not blood related, but she's my mother's, one of her closest friends. And I know she explains it, how she is connected to us. I'll save that for the interview. But we were so lucky to welcome Carol Bregar. She is a licensed psychotherapist, did she say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she works in the Los Angeles area, and she's lived in California for most of her life, and we loved having her on the show. So thank you so much, Carol. And when we come back, you will hear from our guest, Carol Bregar.
Yeah, awesome. And before we do that, I just want to give a quick disclaimer that there might be some audio issues on her. And we tried as best as we can to edit those out. Well, I guess I should say Jamie, but I'm sure she'll be consulting me throughout, because we try to work together. I hope I don't get frustrated on you. That's future Lauren hoping. I just want to keep a heads up. We apologize for that. Hopefully you'll still want to listen to it. We hope you guys enjoy.
We're back with Carol Heyman. And we're so happy to have you here today as our guest. And we wanted to share with our listeners a little bit about, you know, what is our connection to you, and how are we even here today? So if you would share that would be great.
Well, started a long time ago.
Right.
Very long time. My mother and your mother.
Grandmother.
We're best friends. Your grandmother. We're best friends. And they each had a daughter. One of them is your mother and the other one is me. And they kind of planned it that way. They wanted to have two kids, and they had a girl and a boy, and they both turned out to be the same age. And then we became best friends. And then
I think that they, like, I don't know, this could be a totally something wrong and you'll correct me, but I think that they rode together to like a piano teacher's house or something. Is that something I'm like pulling from the recesses of my memory that they like
my mother and your mother's mother? I don't know about that. I know that my mother took piano lessons and then she taught some piano, but I didn't know that your grandmother played the piano as well. So I don't remember.
Maybe I'm making that up. I'm going to have to check with my mom. But
they were friends in high school.
Right. And then their husbands were friends. And they like kind of, I mean, we called your parents Aunt Sadie and Uncle High. They were might as well have been our aunt and uncle. Like, I knew no different. They were the people that, like, if my grandparents were out of town, they had a key to come and lock. Like, if I got locked out as a child of my house, I could just like call them up, no questions asked. They would run over and
they loved you. They loved you.
Well, they were a lot of fun to be with. And I remember that.
I all about you guys.
I remember that my uncle, you met Uncle High when you were little, Lauren. So
I do remember that.
We went to Hackney's for dinner.
The onion ring
was. Yeah, he made an impression on people.
Oh, yeah. They were both great.
He had some kind of energy, you know, really good energy. And he was very curious and kind of, you know, ahead of his time, actually, because he was so interested in, you know, everything.
Very up on technology. Like, too, like, he was like, he would be on the internet now if it was like, in those days, I'm sure he would do so much research and kept himself, like, learning and in classes and all of that kind of stuff.
He used to go to classes. He was interested. He wanted to know the meaning of life. That was his whole thing. And he really did a lot of reading, philosophy, religion, history. I mean, he was like a walking encyclopedia. He was really something.
Yeah.
I miss him.
I can understand it. We miss him too. My Uncle High. So that's
and
the
Aunt Sadie.
Right. Aunt Sadie and Uncle High. Exactly. So that's the connection. And then just like a little bit about how did you decide to go into the, you know, make therapy your life's work?
Well, I was always interested in psychology. And I guess, you know, a lot of people go into this field kind of to understand themselves, I think. And I kind of listened to my mother and became a teacher. But I wanted to, then I, you know, I did that for several years. I was a Spanish teacher and French. And then I got married and started a family in California. And that's when I decided I wanted to study psychology. So I got a master's degree in psychological counseling at Cal State Northridge. And that was 30 years ago.
Were they grown when you went back to school, or?
They were not grown. They were like 7 and 12, I think, when I went back to school.
Wow.
A little bit younger, but, you know, I did want to do something. I was always kind of restless. I wanted to do something that was meaningful to me. And I was always fascinated with psychology and read all kinds of books. And, you know, it just was a good fit. So I became a therapist in like 1991, I think, was when I got my license. And I've been working with people ever since. And my specialties, I kind of fell into different things. I worked with all kinds of people. I work with addicts. I work with people who are depressed. I worked at two programs in Los Angeles as a therapist and had a private practice. And so I always had like a job, and a private practice. Now I'm just doing private practice. But I worked with depression, anxiety, like I said, addiction. I think I've worked with all kinds of people. I haven't worked with people who are severely psychotic. That's not one of my specialties. But otherwise, I just take whoever comes and work with them. I actually had a experience of having psychoanalysis at one point in my life. And so the kind of therapy I do is somewhat my own style. It's, you know, it's connecting with the person at a kind of a early level and helping them to grow up. I think a lot of what's wrong, you know, what people have problems with is sort of a being, something happens where they don't really continue to grow. I look at, like, there's a DSM, which is it tells you what your problem is. It's a
pretty thick book, right?
Disorders, yeah. And I look at it on a I can't think of the word right now, but on a, you know, developmental scale. And kind of try and figure out where that person kind of got derailed, and then we work from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I actually have a question about that, because I'm a psychology major also, and like going into therapy was like something I was like considering doing for a while. But I was just thinking, because you've been in this field for a long time, and like you just brought up the DSM and all of that. So like, how have you like evolved with like the changes in like the DSM and like the different diagnoses, and like what kinds of like experiences have you had with that? I don't know if that makes sense as a question, but
Well, you know, I'm not big on diagnosing people, but I do have to. So, you know, the DSM has changed over the years. Every few years I get a new one, but I haven't really done a lot of studying of what it is. And, you know, most of the people I see are depressed, anxious. They have marital problems. I've worked with that. You know, I also was trained in DBT. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's kind of behavior therapy. Mm-hmm. And probably every kind of therapy, you know, because you have to get hours. So I, you know, I've had a lot of training in trauma therapy. There's EMDR training. So as far as the DSM-3, you know, I look at that in a developmental way as well. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't like to label people, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I haven't had a problem with that, to be honest. It, you know, if I need it for a insurance form, I'll give somebody a diagnosis.
Yeah. So one of the things that I probably imagine is like, do you meet people has the mode of meeting with people changed so much? Like, are you doing a lot of Zooms all the time? Is it, I mean, I'm sure when, you know, COVID happened and mm-hmm. the stay at home orders and everything, then you probably had to pivot a little bit, I'm sure. But you probably talked before that to people on their phones. I mean, if need be, I bet.
Well, you know, I saw people in person, and if they needed to reach out, we would talk on the phone. But since this COVID, most of the work I've done has been on Zoom. Now that people are vaccinated and I've got all my vaccines, if somebody wants to come in, I'll meet them. Or if I'm going to meet a new patient and they've been they've had their vaccine, I'll see them at my office. Yeah. But it's been working out pretty well doing it on Zoom. I prefer to see people in person, but, there's a certain different vibe you have when you're talking to somebody directly.
Yeah.
And they're talking to you.
For sure. I actually started seeing a therapist during the pandemic. So I never have actually seen her in person, which is kind of weird to think about. And I feel like she knows so much about my life, but I've never actually met her. So it's very interesting.
Is it someone at school that you're?
No, it's someone I found at when I was at home, but I've been able to see her while I'm at school too. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah. Honestly, I think that, I think it might be a little different if you were in person, but I haven't had a problem with it at all. In some ways, I like it. No one has complained.
Right. I'm sure. So I know this was
People are suffering right now, you know.
Yes.
People are suffering a lot right now.
Well, that's something we definitely wanted to kind of hear a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it seems that there's, you know, there's some people that you can't even make an appointment with because there's so many patients. And I know that, you know, that's just a big topic that you hear on the news is that everyone is struggling. And so, you know, I'm curious.
Could you speak up just a little or
yeah,
turn
sure.
up the volume?
So okay. I, you know, I know that that's a big thing right now is that people are having a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, have you, you know, had an uptick in the amount of people that are reaching out to you? Old patients coming back. I don't know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting phone calls from people that I've worked with over the years. And I see a certain number of people, but I've limited the number of people I see now because I can only do so much. I'm getting old and older, and I need my strength. It takes a lot of energy to do therapy, even though you're just sitting in a chair, you know, you're listening, you're thinking, you're feeling, you know, you're picking up on people's feelings, and that's all energy. So, I have just the right number of people right now.
So how many, can you share with us how many that is?
Okay. I have, you know, some people I have that I've had over the years come like every other week. But I also see people more than once a week. So altogether, I would say I have about 13 or 14 people that I see every month. And some of them come every week. Some of them come twice a week. Some of them come every week. It just depends on, you know, a couple of things. One is what their needs are, and that's, you know, the biggest priority. But some people, you know, a lot of the people that I see, I've seen over many years. You know, it's just a relationship that you can count on. So it's been really interesting. People are struggling to figure out what the heck is going on, first of all. And, you know, our brains are organized in a certain way from the time we're little until throughout our life. You know, we grew up with our family, whatever. I had a fairly typical American family. I grew up in a family and had a brother, and the world was something that was predictable in certain ways. There were certain things that you knew you could count on to kind of give you a sense of security. So I think now the idea that things are so erratic and there's so much conflict going on in the, you know, around the world, that even, you know, watching the news can be really disturbing to people. So, you know, you can't go out to eat because you're going to die, you know.
Right. I remember in the beginning stages, like, of the pandemic, when, you know, I was like, you can't even touch your face without being worried that you were going to die. Like, mm-hmm. you just said, like, you were scared of every little thing.
Yeah, right.
Until you mm-hmm. heard more. I mean, we were washing our groceries down. We were, you know, all of those things. And there were different, like, stages. I mean, I remember, Lauren, you went to Trader Joe's and you're like, Mom, everything was bought out of the store at Trader.
That was like the first day. That was like March 13th.
That store yeah.
was empty.
Yeah. Yeah. All the people buying all the toilet yeah. paper, all the different stages that we've been through.
You had to adjust every day to, you know, whatever was changing. And like you say, groceries, you couldn't get your regular brands, you know, and you had to wear a mask and to wash your hands with, you know, sanitizer and thing, you know, and grocery stores were out of food, things that we normally eat. So there was a lot of change, and change is loss. You know, it's kind of like you have to grieve change. You know, you know, going to the store and not being able to get your Diet Coke, the right one, you know,
right.
is a loss. You know, I came home once, I had a cherry Diet Coke and I thought, what the heck is this? It was so awful. And I looked closer and I realized that now I've got to look at the little teeny word cherry over Diet Coke in order to find what I like to drink. And then now there's all these problems with all these ships that are not being able to land in the country with goods on them because there aren't enough people to do the work. So, you know, it's a lot of adjustment and a lot of loss and change. And, you know, most of it's just been unpleasant, I'd say.
I would agree. So, and then yes, all the
people are stressing out.
I know we're not a political podcast, so to speak, but sometimes our views come out a little bit. And, you know, I know that, you know, people are glued to their TV prior to the election. When last year's when the former president was in office, there was lots that we would see on TV and get all anxious about and worried about. And I know that affected a lot of people's coping skills. And it was stressful. I mean, we were watching TV at the day of this insurrection. We couldn't believe our eyes.
I know. That was traumatic too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it makes you feel so insecure. You know, you can't count on anything being the way that you thought it should be. But I do think people are being pretty resilient as well. You know, we adjust. I mean, people are adjusting to what is, and, you know, when it seems easier now when you go to the store and they don't have your product,
right? Or the mask wearing.
The-
like at first, you were watching people wearing the masks, and you were like, "What you know, what kind of an apocalypse are we in right now? This is like, we're in we were living a movie, I felt like sometimes. And now it's like, you know, we've been wearing a mask. Okay, so be it. So what, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, Lauren, do you have a lot of masks?
Yeah, I have a favorite brand. I'm a real big, and we're not sponsored by this company, but I love my Athleta masks that I have in 6 different colors, and very happy for one.
You know, you could kind of coordinate your outfits with the mask and everything.
Of course, definitely.
Exactly. Lauren, you had a question.
So yeah, my question was based on something you said like a little bit earlier, how like you said like it could be really like hard for you personally to like, you know, sit and like, even though you're just sitting in a chair, like it can be really draining, and like hearing everyone's stories and helping them through it and everything. So that was actually like one of my hesitations of like going into therapy, just because like I'm a kind of person, I feel like I take on a lot of other people's problems, and like I give myself that burden. So like I'm just wondering from your perspective, like what are some strategies that you use, or like how do you prevent yourself from like taking your work home with you, if that makes sense?
My work is home, but
yeah. Well, exactly. That's what's hard about it.
Actually, you know, I think that one of the things I stress with people, to me, the most important thing is, how is your self-care? You know, that is what keeps us going. So yeah, I eat properly. I eat a good, I eat nutritional food. I exercise every other day at the least. Mm-hmm. I have, I talk to my friends. I see certain people now, but there are certain things that really help to keep me going. And I don't really take on too much. I mean, I do my notes, which is one way of letting it go, so I don't have to think about it. And I've been doing it for so long that it doesn't affect me. But I can get tired, you know, I can get tired, and I get tired today. I'll get tired, and I have one person later, but, it's, you know, you just have to kind of check in with yourself. You have to know how you feel, I think. And so that's part of self-care too, is checking in with yourself. Oh, and meditation is probably my number. I think if everybody meditated, it would be a lot easier for people. I do meditation every day, in the morning, at night, if I, you know, just because it brings you into the present moment. And right now in the present moment, we're all okay. You know, I'm okay, you're okay. We're sitting at home talking to each other. So, it's a relationship. So you do think about it. And after, you know, so many years, I can go with the flow.
So I think that would be something we would want to know about in terms of like people who are listening. That's a really good strategy. Just remember, you know, reminding yourself that in this moment, I am okay. And not thinking too far out into the future, or focusing and ruminating on the past, remembering that you can only control your actions and reactions, right. But you know, are there other things that you would give as some tools, or offer up as some suggestions if people are struggling? And I think
I do think it's a good idea to pick up the phone, and you know, if you're really struggling, if you're having trouble sleeping, if you're having trouble getting going at the beginning of the day, if you're preoccupied with fear and, you know, it's a good idea to pick up the phone and see if you can find somebody to talk to. But it also is a good idea to get a referral from somebody you know, because, you know, if you know people that are happy with whoever they're working with, you know, it could be a good referral, you know. And you have to pay attention to how you feel when you talk to somebody to decide if it's a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody isn't the best fit.
I know that, Lauren, you've said like that you really, I know you truly believe in therapy, and you would say like, you know, maybe everyone should do that. I don't know if, you know, you're, is that kind of, I mean, Carol, like, you know, from all of your years, I'm obviously you believe in what you do. And, you know, I think that nowadays it's more like, I don't know, accepted socially. Mm-hmm. People talk about it as if they just went to the gym, that they just saw their therapist, I think.
Yeah. A lot of people out here, I mean, it's been like that in California since I got here. You know, it's this woo-woo land. You know?
I don't think it's like that everywhere. I think that in the old days, I mean, you know, I know folks that had, you know, really suffered from a loss or trauma, a parent who died, this, that. And, you know, I think there was a lot of shame in the an older mindset of that. Like, it was shaming. Definitely. Now it's not seen like that.
No, I think there are people that still, you know, hesitate because they feel like it's a shame that they don't. It is a shame. It's kind of sad that people go to that place, but a lot of people stay away from therapy because they think that it means something about them.
Right, like they're not able to do this without support or help or whatever, which is crazy.
We're social beings, so we can't do it by ourselves. You can't always figure everything out. And, you know, therapy gives you an opportunity to use, you know, the tools that kind of God gave you, you know, to help yourself. It's, you know, it's not a solution to anything. It is a way of learning how to manage your emotions, take care of yourself, and, you know, a willingness to let somebody else in that might be able to give you another perspective.
Correct. Yeah, it is. And I oh, see, my dog might hear your dog. What's your dog's name over there?
My dog's name is Kelby, K-E-L-B-I. And she is a 11 and a half year old Yorkie.
Oh.
Kelby.
How do we get the name? What's Kelby?
Well, I adopted her when she was about a year and a half old, and her name was Kelby. And I just thought it would be kind of weird to, and I didn't want to change her name because that's who she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's really adorable and she's really smart and, you know, I have a companion that I in my life, and you know, we both love her very much. And she, awesome. You know, she brings a lot of. We laugh a lot because of the dog. You guys have dogs?
We have one dog. Yeah, he's laying over on his. His name is Jack. He's laying over on his pillow right now. He could use a little. Use a little therapy himself, actually. That's what we say.
Definitely. Yeah.
Really? What's going on? They have dog psychologists.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He needs a lot of therapy. He's, you know what? He is very protective of me, likes to guard me a little bit, and so therefore can show some aggressive behaviors to my husband, to Corey. So like he'll charge after Corey if, you know, something is not to his liking. I don't know.
It's great.
It's not great.
Anyway, we could talk. That could be a whole episode is analyzing the dog. But, you know.
You want to bring her in or him?
Yeah, for sure. We might have to set up a session with him for you. Okay, so for our final question. So just to wrap up here. So like you said, you practice in like the LA area. And like I'm sure you can't really name any of the clients that you – at least have or have had in the past, but is there like any like exciting stories that you can disclose, like as much as you could share?
Probably not, but
well, yeah, I've gotten free tickets every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good. That's a win.
They say it's not what you know, but who you know. That would be you know.
But you know, everybody's a human being. You know, so that's how I experience people, you know, who maybe are well known.
Right. So it's not.
They have problems just like everybody else. And, you know, life can be difficult for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's.
I don't have any sexual stories. I don't want
to. No,
of course not. I just think it's good for the audience to know that, like, you know, everyone's human. We all go through things at the end of the day. So.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what you do or who you are. I think about things a lot, and, you know, we're all product of our upbringing, and, you know, we don't know that much. You know, all we know is how it was in our family or how it was where we went to school or whatever. But, you know, nobody can give you all the answers. And some people, you know, have a better, like a just a more kind of a functional situation growing up. But most people have things that they just don't understand or that don't work for them when they go back out into the world, even though their family did this or, you know, their family did that. Not every family does the same thing. So, you know, so what what I look at is, like, there's this kid inside of all of us, you know, that's needs some support sometime. And you've got to know how to take care of that kid inside of you. If you have trouble with it, you know, and I think that's like your emotions, then you can go and learn how to manage them, how to recognize them, what to do for yourself. And, you know, it's nobody, I don't look at anybody as a victim, you know, really. I guess there are certain things that are victimizing of people. But the bottom line is that once we grow up, you know, it's a, we have to kind of learn how to manage our own feelings, emotions, situations. And if you're having trouble, it's really a nice, it's such a lovely experience to be able to talk to somebody who's not part of your life and can see things in a way that maybe the people in your life, you know, can't see it. All so right. You can, you know, it's like getting a supplement, you know.
For sure, for sure. Well, we want to say a big, hearty thank you so much. We're so glad that we have the ability, capability to, like, zoom in with somebody all the way out in LA, right?
Come out. You should come out and visit.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
You might want to stay. What?
Yeah.
Love to.
Yeah, we haven't been in since,
down.
You know.
Really?
Long time.
It's been a long time since we've been.
Yeah, wait till you can go out. That's all. Wait till you can get out and go sightseeing and do the LA definitely. Deal. It's different than Chicago, and I miss it, so many ways. But I've adjusted, and you know, thank you for asking me. This has been really fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with our listeners. I'm sure they'll get a lot out of it. I know they will.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I have to say you had really good questions.
Not bad for scribbling it on.
They were helpful questions, yeah. And, you know, it helped me to, you know, figure out what, you know, what you wanted to know. Well, okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So welcome back. We hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Carol, and hopefully you have some takeaways from it. I know I did, and I thought it was a great convo.
Yeah, I loved it. I definitely got a lot out of it. Definitely, like, makes me a little, like, nostalgic for, like, what could have been my career path. I mean, I guess I still have time to, like, make a change. I mean, I'm pretty satisfied, but it's still something that really interests me, and I definitely still stand firm on my stance that I do think everyone needs to go to therapy. I think it's really important.
I would say, though, like she said, she didn't really get into this until later in life. So, like, you are 21 years old, and the world is your oyster in terms of what you're going to do the rest of your life.
That is very true. I definitely have time, but I still am very passionate about the subject, despite wherever my life takes me.
I agree. Okay, so now it's the part of the podcast where we talk about what we're into for the week. So I'm going to let you start because I am still deciding between my two things because I don't know. So let you take it over.
We love the indecision that is the Libra moon in you. Anyway, so what I'm into this week is not a shocker for those of you who know me, but when I do come home, one of my favorite things about coming home is getting to eat, like, all of my favorite restaurants. So I guess I'm just going to say that's my what I'm into because I just want to give a quick plug. As soon as I got home, first place, of course, had to be Lou Malnati's. It is like my ride or die, like injected in my veins restaurant. It's always like the first and last stop, like when I'm home. So got to give a shout out to my tried and true. Also had Charlie Beinlex, which is like one of my other favorite places. Best burger I've ever had in my entire life. Best fries, best coleslaw. No one is allowed to disagree, at least for me. Like we mentioned earlier in the lights, we had Lolo's Bowls, favorite acai bowl. Like, again, nothing really compares. Soft serve, the granola butter. I had this, like, the seasonal fall bowl, like the trail mix bowl, which had, like, cranberries and pumpkin seeds. And it was granola and almond slices. It was so good. And the chocolate drizzle and the granola butter. Perfect. What else did I have? We're having dinner with the grandparents tonight. I had a good restaurant when I went out on Friday. It's just very, the food is very important to me, as you guys can probably tell by now. I'm excited to go back to school and cook again and like have, you know, my favorite restaurants there, but nothing compares to my places back home. So that is what I'm into, and I am feeling satisfied with my stomach and my heart.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad stomach and heart are both taken care of.
Oh, and we went to that really good brunch place I'd never been to. We went to First Watch.
First Watch.
Excited to go back there because I feel like I need to give it like another chance to like get something different too. Yeah. Even though I liked what we got, and it was a little, they got messed up a little bit, but
yeah. And I had no eggs on mine. But that was okay.
That was unfortunate. Anyway, what are you into?
Well, this is kind of silly. Because I would say one thing, and maybe I'll do it next week, but this week what I'm into is having Coke Zero at the house. So I know this is sort of strange, and the reason I bring it up is because I think when we were – maybe went to Missouri, I think. I believe so. Like when we were picking up our dinner or eating somewhere on the choices of like the fountain, drinking fountain – Coke Zero is one of the options or something. I think this is why this happened. But, you know, we're big Diet Coke drinkers here. But oftentimes I'll like a Coke Zero. And Dad was like, you know, Jane, I could get you a Coke. We could buy Coke Zero and have it in the house. And then, like, he went grocery shopping. And guess what? Our refrigerator has some Diet Cokes and a few Coke Zeros in there. And, like, you know, it's just the little things. But, like, what I want to say is, Lauren, find yourself someone that buys you a Coke Zero. That's, you know,
true. I was gonna say, Dad's love language really is like acts of service, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, is it acts of service, but also like gift giving? He's like, yeah.
He likes to give like practical like gifts, like Coke Zero. Like I don't know if I call that a gift, but it's also like he was catering to your needs. I don't know. I think it's common. I think they go pretty hand in hand.
Right. Well, it was so nice of him because like, I don't know, he knows that I like it, so it was a thoughtful way to kind of just like show me a little love. So. Bless you, Corey Smith. And like I said, everyone, find themselves a Corey Smith. He's a pretty great guy.
So true, bestie.
Love you, Corey. Okay. So that about rounds up the episode.
Yeah. We hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode and specifically our interview with Carol. Definitely, like, if you want to hear more about this topic, if there's anyone specific you would want as a guest, anything like that, feel free to let us know. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Rate, review, and subscribe. I feel like you've been the one to say all this lately. Like all this.
I know. I've been loving it. It's been rolling off my tongue. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Really capitalizing and taking over. But I feel like you talked a lot during the interview, so my turn now. just share this with a friend and all of that good stuff. We hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Take care of yourself and others. Oh, we forgot our new thing you like to say.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And I'm forgetting about it. Where's our paper? That has it on here.
Isn't it like, so what? Like, we really do have the best.
Right, right. Here, it's on this paper. This paper.
This paper?
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry for the rustling.
It's probably on this side, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe. Oh.
It's okay.
Oh, no.
Anyways, as you guys know, we have the best mother-daughter relationship. We don't need a catchphrase to let you know. But we'll be back with that and another great episode for you guys next week.
Bye.